Berlin to stay for coffee and croissants, tea and croissants after next Sunday's service. Other notices will all be on the website or on our newsletter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open your word to our hearts and our hearts and minds to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a child, my dad did most of the driving, and he liked taking shortcuts. As in many families, you know what's coming, don't you? My dad's shortcuts became a bit of a joke, because sometimes, not often actually, his so-called shortcuts were really long cuts. As the side road he took, sure it would be quicker, did a big loop and brought us back to where we started, or led to a dead end. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes, we ended up going miles further than if we'd stuck to the main roads. The days before sat-navs, eh? I must confess that as I have a fairly good sense of direction, I'm tempted to do the same thing. It's this way, I'm sure it is. But I try to restrain myself and patiently stick to the main route. Neither with him driving nor me driving have we had any real disasters. But of course, it's possible that going the wrong way or ignoring the signs could end you up in big trouble. What if you drove past the danger signs when driving across the moors into a military range? Or if you drove through a line of traffic cones only to discover that the bridge you find yourself on hasn't been finished yet and you're about to drive off the end and into the river? The point may be obvious, but when it comes to Christian ethics, it is often missed. The rules and guidelines for Christian living aren't there because God likes squashing people into a particular shape, whether or not it's good for them, whether or not it will make them happy. The rules are there because they're the rules of the road, and it matters which road you take. One road will lead you not just into a cul-de-sac, but ultimately into disaster. The other road leads you to life, life in a new dimension, life in all its fullness, now and for eternity. Our epistle, read from the NIV version, which is a little easier on our modern ears, says, "Holiness leads to eternal life, but the wages of sin is death." This can be misunderstood too. It's not that the threat of ultimate death and the promise of eternal life is like a carrot and stick. God doesn't treat us like donkeys. That's not how it works. It works like this. If you choose to live in certain ways, you are choosing behavior which is in its own character destructive to yourself and those around you. An obvious example is that people who regularly get very drunk and go around smashing things up are damaging themselves and the world around them. It's not that there's some arbitrary standard that says such behavior is wrong and deserves punishment. Such behavior already shows signs of its destination. It's obviously damaging in itself. And the opposite is true too. When people behave in the patterns set out in the Gospels and early Christian teaching, there are signs of life already at work. Eternal life isn't some arbitrary reward, like someone being given a reward for rescuing a child from drowning. It's more like the reward that a father receives when the child he has rescued is his own beloved daughter. Here in Romans and elsewhere, Paul makes it clear that eternal life, or the kingdom of God, was the phrase Jesus used, starts now. Jesus demonstrated that kingdom of God power that gives life in all its fullness in the gospel reading we just heard about the feeding of the 4,000. Extraordinary. One of the achievements of Jesus, the Messiah, was that he brought the future age, when God's rule and power would fully triumph at last, into the present age. Christians are summoned to live in the present in the light of that future which had come to meet them in Jesus. There's more about Paul's vision of what the ultimate future looks like. Read on to Romans chapter 8. That vision of a new creation, under God's merciful rule of justice and joy, is where genuine Christian behaviour will lead. Something else. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life, as Paul said. When we sin, we earn a wage, and that wage is death. But when we live according to God's way of holiness and faith, we don't earn eternal life. It remains a free gift, greater than anything we could deserve. A gift flowing from God's grace, his mercy, his overflowing love, offered to everyone who will receive it and receive him in faith. Final judgment will be in accord with the faith and life we have led, but it will be in accordance with, in the same way that a symphony orchestra playing Beethoven at full blast is in accordance with my humming the tune. Let me end with a quote from Tom Wright's commentary on this passage. He says, "People still assume, inside the church as well as outside, that Christianity is simply a matter of a few strange and restrictive moral rules coupled with a few strange and outdated beliefs and practices. Even a few lines of St. Paul will put that nonsense to rest and get us back on track for the serious and necessary business of genuine Christian holiness." Amen. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift of life, eternal life. Thank you that Christ has dealt with our sin. Thank you for the Holy Spirit's empowering to live a holy, life-enhancing, life-giving, full life. Please fill us afresh at Holy Communion today. In your name, amen.